This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good Monday morning to you. Welcome in on the 10th day of March. I am Mark Cox. That is Kim St. Ange. Carl Middleman back in the producer chair over here. Ethan is here, but we appreciate him filling in on Friday while Carl got some beauty sleep, right? After a long tournament?
I did. I actually slept until 9 o'clock on Friday.
Wow. I thought you had to be there back there at 9.
10:30.
Oh, okay.
But then I didn't leave there till
11. Well, you could have worked then.
I could have, yeah.
I'm just kidding you.
I did that last year, and I figured out that that was not a good thing.
I got to tell you, this is the second time I've attended the Missouri Valley Conference tournament over the years. And, you know, you go to a tournament where you don't have a team in the tournament, it's a lot more relaxing. Can I just tell you that? Because you don't really have any blood in the game. You don't have a stake in the games. So you can just enjoy like breakout performances in the tournament.
Named All Right.
There's a kid named Valparaiso named All Right. WRIGHT is his last name.
And you know what his brother's name is?
Always.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? This dad had a sick sense of humor. Whoever their dad is,
you're not
sick
kidding
sense of
about
humor.
His brother's name.
No. His name is Always, and he plays college basketball somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Tom Ackerman told me.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was in the press row. Everyone was talking
funny.
About.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. With the shot, like, and the dude went off. He had, I don't know, he had like 25 points in the game.
He
watched.
He was named one of the five all.
Oh yeah, I'll bet he was. He had a great conference. He had a great tournament.
Wow.
And my guess is, All Right is already in the transfer portal. I would just imagine he will not be playing for Valpo next year. All Right, who is a freshman, is already being recruited by some bigger college somewhere.
And he made the all-tourney team as a freshman.
All-tourney, All Right.
Well, it sounds like he has the skills, but just because of his name, I feel like he'll be.
Now,
Bill
Shapiro, who was the PA announcer, he kept saying, he's like, I don't want to sound like a doofus, but I have to keep saying, all right.
All right with the shot.
I was thrilled
all right
to see
with the layup.
I don't know, which team did that guy play on?
Valparaiso.
Okay, I've never even heard of them. I was thrilled to see the Drake one, because obviously having lived in Des Moines, I had friends who went to Drake. I had friends who are in sports, and they were in town. I didn't get to see them, but they were in town covering the game. So that I was just so happy for
them.
Well,
it once again proving that seeds happen for a reason. After all the great basketball we witnessed, it still came down to number one and number two, and Drake won. And I got to see
Valpo tried.
I got to see a lot of the teams. I never got to see Drake play, and they're the ones that are like now 28-3, and they were going to probably make the NCAA tournament anyway. But now they'll be in there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great weekend. Besides that, Kentucky won. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there.
She mentioned
I didn't expect. going into the weekend that that would happen. So that was a nice surprise for me.
And I,
you didn't?
No, I thought Mizzou would trounce them. I was absolutely expecting. No, I said that. I said, you're going to get whooped. That's why you're trying to sell your ticket.
That wasn't and why I was I trying gave to
you,
sell my
well, because I know you were going to make money. I was giving you a hard time about it. And of course, I watched that game. My dad came over and we watched it together. And we were just disappointed. I know I can't get out there and have, even remotely play like any of those guys could, but it was frustrating. They looked sloppy. Kentucky was making 3-point shots left and right. We were missing 2-point shots. We were missing layups. We weren't good on trends. I could go on and on, and I won't. I was just, Kentucky sadly deserved the win. Mizzou looked sloppy. We didn't look like the team we've looked like in the past earlier this season.
Yeah. Or Kentucky just had a good game plan.
Well, here's what I think. My dad and I talked about this. We did post-game analysis. We think Kentucky had a really good game, but Mizzou also played poorly. And those coupled together is what you saw play out with the score.
Did you record this? Is this going
to
be a podcast?
And I'll have
it probably should be. We had a lot of thoughts.
Up. And I'll just have to tell you, a shout-out to all of the Missouri fans, because the Big Blue Nation travels well. There were a significant number of Kentucky people in the stands scattered about, right? And it was like a yellow out. Everybody wore their yellow shirts and waved yellow flags and towels and all that stuff. I didn't get even one bit of grief from a single Missouri fan.
Well, we are classy,
now,
Mark.
Last time I was there, that was not the case. When you beat us, I took a lot of abuse. Mm. I don't know if it's because we won or what, but everybody was very respectful, I thought.
So, I just liked that they had some guy. They were kind of like crowd surfing this guy, but he wasn't really moving. He was doing push-ups. Did you see that?
I did not.
They were doing the Kentucky guy was doing foul shots. And so as a way to try to distract him, they quite literally lifted up one of the Mizzou fans, and a bunch of people were holding him, and he's doing push-ups.
Oh, nice.
The announcers were even commenting on it because it was hard to miss.
Hmm. Well, I will just point out that I was surrounded by, I went with two of my, with my son and, of course, my friend Ken, who were both Mizzou alums. So they had me, they had me pinned in, and they were really hoping to give me some grief after that. But, of course, they couldn't. Anyway. All
and
right.
You drove.
We'll go on to what's that?
And you drove.
No. Ken drove, so I could have a beer. That was nice of him, wasn't it? Let's go. We got a good show for you today. We're going to get to Hans von Spakovsky's back. We'll talk to him in the next segment here, or in the 6:20 in the next hour here, I should say, because it's just one more legal win in the courts, and we're going to talk about the Supreme Court, what that's meant to Trump so far. Some of the surprising decisions by Amy Coney Barrett. We'll get to that with Hans coming up at about 6:20. I promise you that. Jesse Jane Duff, Tom Ackerman in later, where we can talk about some more basketball. And Lieutenant Governor Dave Wasinger is going to join me at 7:35, coming off the state GOP convention held here in St. Louis. And we'll get some details from him on some of the legislation he's trying to work on and help get passed down in Jeff City. All that coming up right now, Carl. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
There's something wrong with him. And I said, it's unbelievable. They don't get it. They don't get it now. And I think they're going to end up being a minor party if they keep going like this.
Wow. Donald Trump just kind of pointing out the truth here about what's going on with the Democrats. They're kind of floundering. Now they're hoping for a recession, and they may vote to shut down the government this week.
I feel genuinely really, I don't even feel defensive about it or angry about it. I feel like really bummed.
Oh, man, AOC is not appreciating the Republicans right now. I know that's not a surprise, but she's mostly depressed because of the fact that there are only two genders, a man and a woman.
Typically, when we go to the U.S.-Mexico border, we at least see one group of people who are trying to cross into the U.S. illegally. We did not see a single migrant.
And they're very disappointed by that. That's CBS, of course, they're politically correct. They're not going to call them illegal aliens. But they went down looking for some and didn't find any. Surprise, surprise.
Just 30 days to go into the municipal election, Mayor Tashar Jones is firing back tonight after the city's top Democrats voted to endorse her challenger, Alderwoman Kara Spencer.
Whoa! That little political bombshell dropped over the weekend, Kim. How about that?
Tashara Jones is just going down. That's sad. So of the 26 committee members, I guess it was two or three of them were absent, but Jones only got 9 votes.
Yes.
Of all of those committee members.
Well,
a third.
What's that?
She only got a third.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, her good math, Carl. her dad is Vervis Jones, right? Who, of course, used to be involved in city politics, and some would say still largely runs it. But he was tweeting out over the weekend, Jane Duker is all over him. Jane Duker and Vervis Jones have a little bit of an ongoing feud, and she was retweeting his tweets in which he was basically suggesting that this was racism. But the problem is when you look at the vote, of the votes that they got, eight or nine of the 15 votes she got were from African American alder people. So fully half of her of the votes against her were from black people. So that just blows his whole argument right out of the water, which I'm sure is what Jane was pointing out in the tweet that she put out this weekend. Yeah, this has sent major shockwaves. You know, here's the great thing about it. We'll talk about this coming up a little bit. I have often referred to the voting system in the city as a glorified prom king and queen vote like you used to do in high school, because mm-hmm. that's basically all it is. And I've compared it to ranked choice voting. I watched one thread this morning where people were a Republican that I follow was getting chewed out by very angry progressives in the city who argue they do not have ranked choice voting. It's different. What they do in the city is different. Really? We're going to talk about that coming up, because I'm running up against a break here, because that is, you can call it whatever you want. You can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. And that's exactly what the city has done with its election cycle. There's no doubt about that. We'll talk about why when we come back here in just a few minutes. Carl Middleman, who has our national anthem?
So, today? Mark, you got to see some of the national anthems this weekend. Evo Millar-Gellar.
She's excellent.
She did great. But you know who did the championships game?
Who?
That would be Naval Petty Officer First Class Gerald Wilson, retired.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired, sorry.
There's something wrong with them. This is something I can't even believe it. They lost an election in a landslide. They were talking about men playing in women's sports. When I looked the other night, I made a speech. The Republicans were going wild, and the Democrats were having their little signs up, little tiny signs. And I said, it's unbelievable. They don't get it.
They don't get it now. And I think they're going to end up being a minor party if they keep going like this, because people don't want to hear about these stupid ideas that they have. Transgender for everybody. And again, the men and women sports, what is that, a 90 to 10 deal? I don't even know who the 10 would be. But they're fighting for it. And I try and say to myself, because you always like to understand where your opponent is, whether it's in business or anything else. Is there something I don't understand? But we don't understand it.
This kind of gets back to what I've said before about the 80-20 arguments the Democrats keep losing. Look what's going to happen this weekend. The Republicans are going to put forward a proposal to extend the budget, and the Democrats are going to vote against it because it cuts government programs and it spends more on the military, and it's going to pass the House and it's going to go to the Senate. And it'll get all 53 Republican Senate votes, but it won't get 60. They'll need 7 Democrats. The Democrats will vote against it, and they will be responsible for shutting down the federal government. That's what'll happen. I don't know how they spin it else otherwise, but that's what's going to happen. So here we go again. Every few months, this is what we do, and it's like beating your head against the wall. I don't get it. Off that subject for a minute, and back to the city vote. I follow a local guy on Twitter, a local Republican, who got into it this morning with Democrats over this mess in the city, right? So now you got Kara Spencer won the primary vote, effectively 68% or something like that. It was huge over the mayor. But now the mayor got the second most votes, so they'll still be in the runoff on Election Day on April 8th. And well, the question that was posed was, how do you defend ranked choice voting in the city? It is a complete disaster. And all the left-wing loonies attacked him and said, it's not ranked choice voting. It's approval voting. Here's what you need to understand. This system was put in place for one reason and one reason only. Now, I'm not foolish enough or naive enough to believe that a Republican will ever get elected in the city of St. Louis again. Now, Dennis Hancock is running for county executive in what is now a purple St. Louis county. I'm not convinced a Republican will ever get elected again to county executive, because the axis is kind of turned here. In the city, definitely in the city, 95% in the county. But this approval voting, ranked choice voting, whatever you want to call it, where you can vote for multiple people, is designed for one reason, and that is to entrench one party, in this case, forever in politics. They removed party labels, right? So the Republicans have to run in the same primary as the Democrats in a city dominated by Democrats. So no Republican can ever get out of the primary again to even be a candidate on the ballot on April 8th. That's why this was done. It's why it was done to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
There may never be another Republican elected to a citywide office.
What's sad is that the city's so poorly run that people from the city and people in many cases don't feel safe. So they're moving to St. Louis County. And then a lot of people don't like the direction things are going in St. Louis County under the leadership or lack thereof of Sam Page. Because like you said, it's kind of become this purple area. Many areas that were once red have shifted more to blue. So then they're moving out to St. Charles County. So we're seeing a lot of growth in St. Charles County. And that's going to be one of the challenges. How do you attract more businesses and more residents to both St. Louis County and St. Louis City?
It's a great point. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to claim that, you know, that the Republicans in this town, you know, wouldn't have a chance anyway. So what's the difference? We might as well change this. This they have now entrenched themselves on purpose. It's the reason they did it, into power. And that's the only reason. They're trying to reverse this crazy ranked choice voting. Why does it matter what you call it? Approval voting, ranked choice voting. It's a awful system. There's no doubt about it. And I think St. Louis is the only one in the state that has it, because we've now restricted your ability to do that in other places before other big blue cities in the state try to adopt some craziness like that. So that's what's happened. So now now I don't see any way on April 8th that Tashar Jones pulls this out. She's got all the Democratic apparatus against her. Her father wants to argue that there's a white Democratic Party and a black Democratic Party. Well, guess what? 8 members of the Black Democratic Party on this committee voted against your daughter, Vervis. That's bad news. All right, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim when we come back. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
The 1.4 million LGBT-owned businesses in the U.S. are a growing part of the American economy. These companies bring an estimated $1.7 trillion in revenue. They help create jobs and innovate business solutions nationwide. But despite these positive numbers, research shows LGBT business owners face barriers to economic opportunities due to discrimination.
Well, and that's why this one guy who wrote an article in The Huffington Post.
HuffPo.
The HuffPo created the so-called drag queen test to measure a city's economic vitality.
Oh, my.
So there's a series of questions that one would need to ask to determine how well off a city will be. And here are some of those questions. How does the city treat its drag queens? Does it have non-discrimination laws? Does it avoid restrictions on adult performance? Does it foster safe spaces for queer communities? Does it possess an ecosystem that supports queer talent and expression? Do local queens make it to RuPaul's Drag Race? Cities that answer yes, they say, are more likely to have dynamic cultures and inclusive communities and therefore thriving economies.
I couldn't agree more.
I was waiting for crickets there.
No. Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
They would have to agree with all of those things to meet his definition of a successful city.
What's funny is this guy.
It's insane.
This guy talks about how they have significant purchasing power, the LGBTQ plus communities. Back in 2023, it was nearly $4 trillion. Well, guess what? Newsflash to this guy. The purchasing power of Christians in the United States is estimated to be more than $5 trillion annually. So you can't just go off one group and say, well, because the LGBTQ plus community has $4 trillion, it doesn't mean we ignore them. But that doesn't mean that you have to have this inclusive society that promotes drag queen brunch and all of these things and letting drag queens read to children at local libraries with our tax dollars. That's ridiculous. Now, it's not just this Looney Tune who has come up with this drag queen test. UCLA Law School's Williams Institute also came up with that same conclusion that the acceptance and protection of queer people correlated with an increased per capita GDP. Then there was a 2023 Wells Fargo study that looked kind of at similar things and basically said that LGBTQ plus inclusion was the secret sauce for economic growth. Now, what I also should note that did not make sense to me was some of the cities that were mentioned in this.
Does any of it make sense to you?
Well, you're right, touche. But some of this that especially did not make sense was it said this held true for cities beyond New York and L.A. Atlanta, Detroit, and Minneapolis have higher GDP per capita than most U.S. metro areas. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but L.A. is so not well off financially. There's a lot of very, very, very wealthy people. But isn't the city as a whole not doing well? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, it's one of the highest taxation cities in the country. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, God knows they shouldn't have a revenue problem. I can't imagine they don't overspend on everything. But I personally just don't know.
Well, they talked about there. I went down the rabbit hole again, and there were some videos talking about how the LGBTQ plus community spends a lot of money on travel and food and things like that. And so they're really pouring into these, you know, local businesses. And that's why it's such a big deal that you have to be very inclusive to them, because they're going to be the ones who are really supporting the local economy. As if the rest of us, the straight people, don't.
Wait, you're cisgendered. Thank you.
You're right. Cisgendered. I want to be correct because I certainly don't want to offend anybody.
You have to be. You have to use the right words, or it doesn't count, Kim. I don't. Here's what I don't get. If you're an adult human being and you choose to wear a furry costume, or you're a man and you choose to wear a dress, it to me, that's just like somebody that gets multiple tattoos on their face or multiple piercings on their face or their nose or whatever it is. You're doing it for one reason and one reason only. You want to stand out from the crowd and you want people to notice you. And then when they notice you and stare at you because you look like a freak, you get offended by it. That's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about. Ooh, look at me. You have to look at me. And it's an effort to try to claim that it's some big positive impact on everything when it's a tiny, tiny minority of people with this condition screaming for attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them ever winning that argument.
Well, I don't either. And again, I go back to this whole notion that, sure, there is, if you want to go with that figure, $4.1 trillion back in 2023 of purchasing power among this group, although this group is evolving every day because they've come up with different names and I don't even know. Okay, well, there again, look at Christians, look at the purchasing power. And I, by the way, said that was more than $5 trillion. Look at the purchasing power of conservatives. I mean, it's ridiculous to just discount all of that and just side completely with one group because they have $4.1 trillion supposedly in purchasing power. So do other groups, and they have more. I mean, you know, just because I don't agree with someone's lifestyle doesn't mean I can't love them. I can't love them as a person. I can't support them. I don't support their lifestyle. I don't support their choices. But it doesn't mean that I shun them and say, you can't come by from my store or whatever the case may be. But if I were, say, a baker, I support bakers being able to say, hey, you know, I can't do this. This goes against my values. You know, you and I have talked about this. Seeing what's reported on the news right now is far different from even when I was in the business. I got out in August of 2021. It has really evolved since then. And I know I struggled with some stories and trying to, I'd find little ways I could kind of like, you know, try to balance it more and insert little things, but still being fair, you know, but I'm like, gosh, I could not cover. Well, that was also, they would butcher it, right?
Sure.
But that was also part of the problem is like, I don't watch much, but when I have caught little glimpses of the news, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could never cover that.
It's so PC these days. It is. If you went to do a story downtown and you didn't refer to them as the unhoused, they would change that copy in your script.
Well, I guess now, but when sure. I was a reporter, that was
well,
never
no, not
a thing.
Then. I mean yeah. Now. It's gone so far the other direction. There's no way you could honestly report and use words that real people use these days.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use the words that they want you to use to try to modify people's perception
right.
of someone who is homeless. They're homeless.
Mm-hmm. I'd struggle with all of
it's
that.
It's not
now.
Like saying they have the mange. It's just the truth. They are without a home. They are homeless. That's the definition of homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Like going back to this argument about like it increases your GDP if you're more inclusive. Like let's just for a second compare St. Louis City versus I'm just going to go with St. Charles City. Obviously, I'm biased because that's my neck of the woods.
Right.
But I mean, look at the way that St. Louis City is run under the leadership of Tashara Jones, and look at the way that St. Charles City is run. It's vastly different. I get that it's different dynamics. I city versus suburban. I get all of that. You have to take that into account too when you're looking at this. But I mean, it's a joke to say that this so-called drag queen test, just because you're more inclusive, means that your economy is going to thrive.
Yeah, they have to say that to try to convince people. They have to find another reason other than visual to convince people to accept this stuff. It's that simple. Most people are repulsed by it.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it. They want to look away. They get caught staring, and then they get screamed at because you didn't use the proper pronouns. No.
I think where we are now and
not doing that. We're not doing that anymore.
Think how far we've come in the last few years, and think what if that train is not stopped, which is what we're trying to do right now, think where this could go in 4 or 5 years. You're going to have people allowed to teach kindergartners in like full drag because they're going to say, look, this is self-expression. I feel most myself when I'm wearing these particular articles of clothing and the makeup and the hair and all the things. And I feel like it's discriminatory. There would be lawsuits. It's discriminatory for you to tell me I can't express myself in this way. Can you imagine your first, second, third grader being taught math by a person in full drag attire?
No.
Like I know that's a dramatic example, but I never would have predicted where we're at right now a number of years ago. So these are all things in my mind that are possible in the next few years if we don't take action now. We cannot just sit on our twiddle our thumbs and say someone else will fight this good fight. We have to be the ones involved. We have to be the ones going to the school boards. We have to be the ones pushing back.
It's good. I like it. And you're right. And I think under this current environment we're in with Trump in the White House and people looking into TV cameras every day and talking common sense, it's another reason the Democrats find themselves on the losing end of so many of these arguments right now, because people can see with their own eyes what the truth is. All right. We're going to get to a quick break here, Kim. Good subject matter. When we come back, we're going to talk about daylight saving time and whether or not you like it or not. And whether you want to keep it that way. We'll get to all that and more in just a minute. Yeah, you know, I'm watching with a little bit of amazement this morning. How are you feeling, Kim, about the time change?
I don't love it.
Carl, how are you feeling about the time change?
I don't know time this weekend.
Okay. I love the fact. Yeah, I lost an hour of sleep. I love the fact that when I got home last night, I get home to almost 7:30 from the event that Folds of Honor event down at the Pickleball Club last night, right on Gravois Bluffs, and the one that the young professionals of Folds of Honor held. It was a great event. Anyway, I went down there, played some pickleball, drove home afterwards, got home about 7:30, 7:40, and it was still light outside. I loved that. The day seemed longer to me. Like, I didn't get up till 8 o'clock yesterday morning, which technically would have been 7 under the old time. I love daylight savings time. Carl tells me it's saving and not savings. Regardless, I love it. And we put out a Twitter poll that's going to run for the duration of the show this morning. We'll have the answer before the end of the show. Go to my Twitter account, at MarkCox971, and vote. Because I want to know. I'm seeing RFK and all these people on Twitter this morning griping about the time change, and they want it. They don't want daylight saving time anymore. They want it kept the way it was on Friday. How do you feel about that? Do you like the long? Don't you like the longer day? For whatever reason it was put in, I think that should be the standard.
I appreciate having longer days. Like, trust me, I remember looking at my calendar like in January and thinking, oh, all we have to do is make it until March 9th and then we have longer days and more daylight. So I absolutely appreciate it, but I can't stand every 6 months having to go back and forth and lose an hour, then you gain an hour. Especially for people with children, it's challenging. And I get the argument, it's only an hour, but that can make a difference. And I just think that if we are going to do anything to change this, so it needs to be on the federal level. I think it's silly that Indiana, and somebody else commented when we were talking about this last week, was it like Idaho? Some other state west of us.
Arizona, isn't it?
Was it Arizona? I just know some other state west of us.
And some cities.
And, okay, thank you. Point proven even more so. It's just stupid. Like, if we're going to do this, it needs to be on the federal level so all states are consistent. Like, what do you do if you live in an area that observes daylight saving time and you drive as part of your commute to work across town to one that doesn't? How do you deal with that?
I don't know. All I know is that apparently, and I'm looking for the soundbite, they asked Donald Trump about it this weekend because he was talking about being able to use trying to push for legislation to set it one way or the other. And he talked about it a little bit during the campaign, and I would think I was hoping when he became president that he might try to prioritize just cementing this one way or the other. And the comment I heard from him this weekend, and I can't find the bite yet, was that he said it's a 50-50 issue, so I think we're going to leave that one alone. Like, I'm sorry. Take a stand. Even if the stand is, I want darkness at 5 p.m., even if that's your stance, let's take that and run with it. Let's make it one way or the other. I would prefer daylight saving time all the time. That's just me personally. But I'd love to see a poll on how Americans feel about this and how our listeners feel about it. I see people commenting on Facebook this morning. I love daylight saving time, and I'm with you. I think it's fantastic. But a lot of people feel robbed by it for some reason. I don't know. I mean, it's going to get lighter later in the morning this morning. I get that. And so some kids might have to go to the bus stop in the dark. I get that. I just don't think it's a... I think I would prefer it be that way. You?
I think no? It should just stay consistent all year long. I
one way or the other.
I think it's silly.
It needs to be consistent one way or the other,
or at least
federally.
Make it where the clocks just automatically change themselves, because surely there are plenty of people, and I'm probably guilty of this in the past, where you just leave your clock, you know, an hour ahead or an hour behind for 6 months, and then all of a sudden when it's daylight saving time, poof, you're finally correct for 6 months.
Right. My grandpa's car was always the same time year round. He didn't have any idea how to change it.
That's annoying if you have a lot of clocks.
And occasionally when he was up at the house, he would send me out. He called me George. That was his nickname for me. And he'd send me out, George, would you go out and fix my car clock? And I'd go out and set it for him. They used to be more complicated than they are now.
Not only does my clock still say 3, like it was when I was driving into work at 4, it said 3, but it also says a.m. And I was trying to adjust my clock yesterday, and it was just being annoying, and I gave up. So my clock's way off, and it will probably be weeks before it's actually correct.
Yep. I get it. All right. So at Mark Cox 971, the Twitter poll is active. We'll have it run up until just about the end of the show, and we'll see how people are feeling about this. Let's get your vote. See what you think about it. Coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky, talk about some of these recent Supreme Court decisions about Donald Trump's executive orders. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.